And yet, when I went to look at alternative treatments, I also gained perspective on other treatments. I went through a tribal exorcism in Senegal that involved a great deal of ram's blood and that I'm not going to detail right now. But a few years afterwards, I was in Rwanda working on a different project, and I happened to describe my experience to someone. And he said, well, you know, that's West Africa and we're in East Africa, and our rituals are in some ways very different, but we do have some rituals that have something in common with what you're describing. And I said, oh, and he said, yes. He said, but we've had a lot of trouble with Western mental health workers, especially the ones who came right after the genocide. And I said, what kind of trouble did you have? And he said, well, he said they would do this bizarre thing. He said they didn't take people out in the sunshine where you begin to feel better. They didn't include drumming or music to get people's blood going. They didn't involve the whole community. They didn't externalize the depression as an invasive spirit. Instead, what they did was they took people, one at a time, into dingy little rooms and had them talk for an hour about bad things that had happened to them. He said, we had to ask them to leave the country. Now, at the other end of alternative treatments, let me tell you about Frank Rusakoff. Frank Rusakoff had the worst depression, perhaps, that I've ever seen in a man. He was constantly depressed. He was, when I met him, at a point at which every month he would have electroshock treatment. Then he would feel sort of disoriented for a week. Then he would feel okay for a week. Then he would have a week of going downhill, and then he would have another electroshock treatment. And he said to me when I met him, it's unbearable to go through my weeks this way. I can't go on this way, and I figured out how I'm going to end it if I don't get better. But, he said to me, I heard about a protocol at Mass General for a procedure called a cingulotomy, which is a brain surgery, and I think I'm going to give that a try. And I remember being amazed at that point to think that someone who clearly had so many bad experiences with so many different treatments still had buried in him somewhere enough optimism to reach out for one more. And he had the cingulotomy, and it was incredibly successful. He's now a friend of mine. He has a lovely wife and two beautiful children. He wrote me a letter the Christmas after the surgery, and he said, my father sent me two presents this year. First, a motorized CD rack from the Sharper Image that I didn't really need, but I knew he was giving it to me to celebrate the fact that I'm living on my own and have a job I seem to love. And the other present was a photo of my grandmother who committed suicide. As I unwrapped it, I began to cry, and my mother came over and said, are you crying because of the relatives you never knew? And I said, she had the same disease I have. I'm crying now. As I write to you, it's not that I'm so sad, but I get overwhelmed. I think because I could have killed myself, but my parents kept me going, and so did the doctors, and I had the surgery. I'm alive and grateful. We live in the right time, even if it doesn't always feel like it.